I'm Bill DeYoung, and this, once again, is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. Joining me today, oh my God, it's Bob Devin Jones and Erica Sutherland. This is the brain trust of the studio at 620. There's about to be a changing of the guard, and we are here to talk about it, and so many other things. Bob, of course, is the co-founder and artistic director of the studio at 620 and has been there for 20 years. He is retiring next week. Erica is the incoming, is that a good word, incoming?
Yes.
Artistic executive director. We were talking about titles a minute ago. Bob, are you excited? I mean, this is pretty much, I don't want to say the end, but this is the end of that particular road for you.
Yes, it is. But it's, well, all roads lead to what, Paris? I don't know. But it's the transition. It's really not a retirement. It's a transition. I'm writing a piece for The Artisan, and it's all about transition.
Oh, yeah.
And the city transitioning. It's, you know, sometimes, to quote, I think, Oscar Wilde, what is worse than not getting what you want is getting it. And I chose Erica.
Yeah.
And the board 100% agreed. So I'm getting what I want. So I'm pretty.
But you're not retiring. You're not going to go out and live on some horse farm somewhere.
Oh, no. I love St. Petersburg. So I'll certainly be around and may occasionally proposed to do things at the studio, but I get to enjoy the city as Citizen Bob.
Has that been something you haven't been able to do?
Oh, yes, but this way I just, you know, I'm a gregarious, introverted type person.
Mm-hmm.
I think many people are. So, but my profession has dictated that I'm always in front of people, but I occur best one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unless Jamie doesn't join me, I'll be able to just attend a play, go to a museum, go to a restaurant with not any opinion other than to be in the city I love.
You don't have to be Bob in quotes, professional.
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah, not at all.
You told me not long ago that you had, well, obviously have the key to the city, which we joked about, but you also said you had many former mayor's phone number in your contact list. So is it nice to go out and have nothing to ask for?
Well,
I don't need money. I don't need favors. I don't need you.
Just the pleasure of your company. Yes.
Yeah.
That's going to be nice.
That is nice. 20 years is very significant.
I think.
Yeah. And you are 69 now, so 70 is right around the corner.
This is June, July. August 29th.
August 29th, okay.
Same as Michael Jackson.
That's right, August 29th. Was there a reason you chose 20 years to say, okay, that's enough?
Yes, I think a combination of all those. Last great vocal group Motown signed was Boys to Men, and their song, "We've Come to the End of the Road."
Love that tune.
I love that tune. And was number one for like 9-11 weeks or something like that. So I think there's a time. And also, I like retelling this story because it's pertinent. About 2 years ago, Erica said to me, "Bobby," she calls me Bobby, "if you're ever thinking about retiring, I'd like to throw my hat into the ring."
Oh.
And I said, "Erica, there is no ring. Use it." This, and I don't call it a retirement so much as it's a transition. So
yeah.
City has transformed itself in the last two decades. And this is the final thing I'll say, is that the Renaissance in Florence, Italy took over 300 years, and we're just into our second decade. So the future looks really delicious.
Bob's from L.A., but you spent a long time in L.A.,
I spent some time in L.A.
Oh, well,
not
okay.
A long time. Been to L.A. I've lived in L.A. twice. When I was 25, it was my first time there.
Yeah.
And it was like I got off the plane. Well, I didn't even fly. I drove. I drove to L.A. I packed up my car, and I told my mother I was leaving, and nobody believed me, and I left.
You're a writer as well. I mean, you're a director, and we can talk about the Kirk Franklin Gospel Christmas Lifetime movie that you directed. I mean, at one point when you were in L.A., it was like, this is my career. I'm going into showbiz, man.
Absolutely not. That is not why I went to L.A. I was trying to get to the – I told my mother I was moving to Chicago. My brother had just transitioned, and I needed to get away, and she told me that I didn't like the cold. And I said, you are absolutely right. I'm moving to L.A. And so that got me out into L.A. And my first time there, I was like, these are my people, as a 25-year-old would. I love this place, you know, and I'm here. And then that transition, that change, and I ended up in Florida, in St. Pete. And
your sister lived here?
I had a sister that lived here, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So why St. Petersburg, though? She was here.
She was like, you know, I think there's a possible job for you down here, and being an artist, you know. She told me how much it was, and I was like, well, I've never made that amount of money before. So, and I was at that crossroad, you know, as all artists are multiple times in their lifetime, at that crossroad of what is next. And so that got me here. And then I went back to L.A. in 2017 to get my MFA, my Master's of Fine Arts, from the University of Southern California in film and television production. Yeah.
With the intention of staying there that time?
The intention was at least to give them 5 years after I graduated with my MFA to see where I would land.
Right.
And then make that decision from there, because I had learned that I can be an artist anywhere in the world. And then the industry was also changing. And then the pandemic really changed everything and brought me back here and changed the industry totally.
You were aware of the studio at 620, obviously, as everybody was, I think. You know, what made you say to Mr. Jones here, my hat's in the ring? Well, where did that come from? I mean, I would really love to do this. That doesn't seem like what you were aiming for in L.A.
It was, in a way, but the story with me and I'll start with Bob Devin Jones, and then we became Bobby and Erica. I moved here in 2008, and in 2008, there was an audition for the play for Color Girls Who Had Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Was Enough. And so the studio was the first place that I had the opportunity to perform theatrically in St. Pete. And so I've been with the studio directly or indirectly since 2008. Anytime Bob calls, the answer is always yes.
Well, what attracted you to it? I mean, it's, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate, as I tend to do. You know, there are a lot of theatrical outlets, and maybe there weren't so many in 2008, a ton of them now. Like, I like what they do here.
Right.
You know?
So you're right. There wasn't many of them, but I did like what the studio provided and did and does. It really is a funky space. You know, it's cool. It's eclectic. You never know what you are going to experience. And I think I agree with what most people say when they speak about the studio, and it was, I feel seen here. I feel like I'm at home. And so I really love that. The studio has always been a part of my ecosystem, a part of my love, a part of how I wanted to create. And at the beginning of my journey, no, I did not have the idea or to lead the studio in any way. That came after I returned in 2020, thinking about what is next in my world. If I'm going to be here, how do I show up in community? And I wanted to show up in community differently than I did my first, 9, 10 years.
You were a teacher in those years, right?
Yes, yeah. I was a teacher. I taught at Gibbs High School and Pinellas County Center for the Arts.
Yes. Yes, I just wanted to get that in there, because a lot of people, I still find people, yeah, she was great, man. I remember her. She was my teacher.
Yes.
I run into people all the time. But the studio is so unique in that it just attracts creative types. My own little circle that I move in, I ended up there doing a couple of projects. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the only place I would have done it, because the answer is always yes. Bob, back to you for a second. In 20 years, the answer is always yes. Has the answer always been, well, let me see what you're doing first, or has there ever been any kind of,
We've learned so much, and there's a play by Pearl Klee called Jar the Floor. It just turns out that was the best way for us to do our learning, which was to say yes, without much proviso, because if someone said to you, Bill, I have some free tickets on, not a Concorde, but a nonstop flight from Tampa to Paris, would you like to go? Mm. And we have hotel accommodation for you too,
Greg. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, yeah. I would like that.
You would say, yeah. So we, in my mind, and once so we were doing, and we've been doing it for 18 years, Midtown Through Our Eyes, photographic started by a Cinder Mort exhibition. And one of the kids, one of the students from Melrose Elementary, so I said to him, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he said, I'm doing it, which was taking photographs.
Mm.
And I thought, okay, so if we're going to find the next James Baldwin, the next Althea Lang, or the next Spike Lee.
Gordon Parks,
that's who I was thinking. You just have to affirm that ecology here, artistically, in St. Petersburg, is fecund. There's a lot of mystical, magical, nutritious elements in the dirt that we all walk on and we plant things in and then we extract them. And so the dirt has said yes to me, us, for a place to grow things that are good for people. And we just emulate that, reflect that.
You're an art gallery. You're a performance space. I mean, I've seen some amazing things in there. You do films.
Not the least of which is your play on the catastrophe at the bridge.
No, thanks. That was fun. Talk to me about the 20 years that you spent there, you know, overseeing this. You know,
well, Dave,
I can't imagine there were disappointments ever, because it's always different. It's always a new day.
It is always a new day. And I think that great philosopher, Scarlett O'Hara, mm-hmm. said, fiddle-dee-dee, I'll think about it tomorrow. So some things we've selected have been challenging. Certainly, initially, we had two artistic directors. So Dave Ellis would pursue what he did. I remember we got this phone call from this organization we had never heard of called Sunscreen, and they wanted to do a film festival at the studio. I said, Dave, you want to take this? And I gave it to him. And, you know, it's blossomed, and they brought in real 35-millimeter projectors. I mean,
Into
the studio. They looked like prehistoric pterodactyls. But one of my favorite shows was one that Dave Ellis organized, was called The Water Is Ride. And it was about boating. And we had boat building, Captain Morgan, very good. Our very first show, Grandma's Hands, 100 years of African American quilting. And we had Gies Ben quilts. I wrote one of my first plays there, which was, saying yes was our motto. Then it became our mission to say yes to this community.
And dare I say it, and I'd like to address both of you with this, that in this ever-changing community, this, you know, this expanding, some might say out-of-control growth that's going on in here, it's more and more important every day to have a place like the studio at 620 where, you know, anybody with an idea and enough, you know, chutzpah to do it, a creative idea, can go. Because the corporatization of St. Petersburg is what I'm talking about. You know, eventually you're going to be like, you know, there's going to be buildings in this little space right in the middle. You know, can you talk about that? I mean, how important it is, Erica, let me address that to you. In this community, that it stay the way it is.
Well, I think you said it. I think we give a voice to the community, and it is highly important that we protect that idea and that resource as our city, as our community is growing rapidly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited about the rapid growth. It also allows us to bring in different artists, new artists, new voices from the community to exist where we are, and basically downtown St. Pete, surrounded by all of the construction, I think affords us a unique opportunity. It's walkable. We can still celebrate our community, and it's a beacon. And that's what I like. So you gave me a visual about all these big buildings around this smaller building, but the smaller building is the light. And so we will draw and pull, and people will come there, you know, because we do give voice, because we do celebrate community, because we help elevate and push emerging artists forward, because we give a platform for professional artists. Yeah.
Bob, can you talk about handing over the reins? What, if anything, does that consist of? I mean, you completely trust that she's going to do very well.
That's just it. I trust Erica. And it's an implicit, explicit 360 trust. And that also includes trusting her to follow her integrity, artistic passion, and listen to the community. Through recession, through all kinds of iterations, the studio has said yes, and this community has said yes back. So we were the first, but we didn't have any new ideas. We just had community ideas.
Somebody needs to do that. Yes. It has to be here.
Yes. We have learned so much from saying yes.
But Erica was the person to carry the football, if you will, to keep it going.
Well, she was my choice because how she occurs as an artist, different than me, hopefully so, and uniquely herself. And so I knew that if you're giving over the reins or passing them or transitioning, whatever you call it, you have to do it 100%.
Absolutely. So you're not going to be calling, Erica, why did you do that?
No.
I asked you this before we went on, but I'm going to ask you now that we're in here. What are you going
to
do?
Well, I've been asked to write my memoirs, So I'm going to do that.
All right.
And I'm going to continue writing an article for The Artisan.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, if anybody asks, I'll make chocolate chip cookies.
I've been asking you for years, and you know,
I'll bring them the next time.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope Bob still brings his writing to the studio. I think Bob is an exceptional writer. Phenomenal. I love the way he sees words and the way he puts them together to tell story. And so I hope as he is writing his memoirs and all of the other things that he continues to bring some new work into the studio.
The future.
The future. I think the heart stays exactly the same, right? The heart of the studio. I think how that rolls out is slightly different. I don't think you will visually see like a difference. Like there, all of it is the same. We curate all of the arts. So I get the opportunity to do that in my special way, mm-hmm. right? So you'll still see the same type, you know, you'll still be able to experience music, dance, theater, visual arts, all of those things. One of the big things that I am doing is along with our The Answer Is Always Yes, and when we have that pop-up type of event feel, we'll still have some pop-ups.
Yeah.
But we will also have a dedicated calendar uh-huh. for season, so you will know some things that are coming up far enough in advance.
I think what Project Alchemy does is absolutely brilliant. Alex Jones is a great artist, and it's great that that is their home to experiment and stuff they take outside, you know.
And I think that's one of the biggest platforms at the studio is this idea of incubating ideas and creative thought and creating and building off of those ideas that you bring into the space.
You had said to me at one point that there would possibly be more theater.
Yes.
You know, I'm kind of a theater nut and yeah.
A little bit over here too. Yeah,
yeah I guess a little bit. We can talk about your credits and be the whole rest of the program.
No, today. We don't need to do that. Well, think I'm like Bob in that way is that I really do occur better one-on-one. and I have a hard time talking about myself. So more theater in the space and not just theater that's emanating from Erica, but theater that is emanating from other directors and producers in the area.
June 30th is Bob's... What are we,
party. It's his celebration.
We're just calling it a celebration. Okay, it's at Savant, and it's sold out.
It is sold out.
Lots of people who love this man are coming to pay tribute to him. Bob, you tired of this yet? We did the thing with Roy Peter Clark a few weeks ago, and it was yet another tribute to you. And you being the shy and retiring type, you looked almost uncomfortable up there. As you know, everybody's talking about you these days. You kind of ready for this to be over?
Yes, in a word. See, I like to observe. So if I'm doing and being about my work, it's listening. I remember years ago, I was still in my teens and my grandfather passed and Mimi, his wife, we were at the funeral. And this is years before I ever thought of being a writer. We walked down the aisle and we sat in the front row and the preacher was giving the the eulogy, and he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, Hollywood be thy name, And it should be Hollywood be thy name, but he said Hollywood. So I started laughing. Mimi started laughing, and she pinched me. And so that lodged in my brain, and 20-plus years later, I put it in a play, that line, that circumstance. So what did you ask me?
I just wondered if you're tired of all the praise that's being heaped on you. Hollywood be thy name.
Hollywood be thy name. Because I like to observe.
Yeah.
And so attention on me is not coming from a big family, although mom made everybody feel special. I like anonymity a little bit, just kind of blend in. And so I like being a part of this community. I love it. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, just being John Q. Public. A couple of times during the performances of Hamlet, I'd sit out in the lobby and just look at the sign, Hamlet 620, directed by Bob Devon Jones, and the dates. And it would always bring me to the first day when we had our groundbreaking. The floor was as dark as these chairs. There were four posts, metal posts in the middle of the room. There was no AC. There was air ducts. Hazel Huff, you know, she has a flip hairdo. She came in, but by the time she left, she was looking like Cher. It was so I would sit in the lobby and look at that. We didn't have lights. We had soundboards. We didn't have chairs. We didn't have anything. And so the 20 years of the community saying yes to us, it's not a reciprocity there. It's just fidelity to what's good.
Uh-huh.
What's good is saying yes to this community. And they showed up. They came to the front door. They came to the back door. It's all good. And I just thought, it's a gift to have Erica decide she wanted to do this assignment.
The relationship that we have. So a lot of people don't know our journey, Bobby and I, you know. Bobby, for me, and calling him Bobby, I think in our last show we did together, I think this is when you directed me in Steel Magnolias at American Stage. And I remember being in the room and he was talking, and the women were sitting in a circle. And he was talking about the ancestors being present and his mother and how much he loved his mother. And I cannot tell you what it was, but from that moment on, he was no longer Bob Devon Jones to me or for me. He became Bob for me. And I don't know if he knows this. So he's always been this beautiful blend of a father figure, a brother figure, you know, in my world. I knew that if no one else in the city loved me, Bob Devon Jones did. And I knew that if I wanted to do anything creative, he would say yes to me, which is why I always say yes to him. And when I have hard times in the city and had hard times in the city, Bob Devon Jones and Jamie Howell always show up for Erica Sutherland 125%. And this is my way. These next however many years, this is my way of saying thank you to them and to the community. And this is legacy, and this is an interesting transition because this is legacy. This is me taking what Bob and Dave created and Jamie Howell created, because we cannot forget Jamie. I mean, he is a foundational support at the studio, but this is all of this blood, sweat, and tears that the three of them and all of their friends and community poured into this space. And my job is to take that, solidify it, create the foundational structure so that it can exist when I'm gone, when the next person is gone, and so that we always talk about this lineage of legacy. I know I stand on great shoulders. And then somebody will stand on my shoulders. And that's how it's supposed to go.
That is so beautifully said. They're hugging. Folks. Erica Sutherland, Bob Devon Jones, what a pleasure to speak to both of you. I am lucky to know you both. And this community is so fortunate to have both of you here. Mm-hmm. Not just the artistic community, but we all know that it feeds into the whole community. And yeah.
Can I say this before we wrap up? I know everybody wants to know the vision that Erica has.
What's the Erica vision?
Yeah, so what I'm going to do in August, when I've been talking about announcing the season, yeah. I mean, that does not include our pop-up stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But I also wanted to give some opportunities for community to come in and just have a conversation with me about the vision and ask questions. So we have a couple of, I think I'm going to throw a community party, to like announcement party.
Oh, yeah.
Just come in and learn about the season and get to know me, so I can, those that don't know me or that have questions, and I can get to know more of the community. So we can just keep a lookout for that information. Yeah. Because I know everybody's looking for the vision, and I have it. I just want to share it all at a particular time.
When's that going to be? Have you scheduled that yet?
They're going to be in August. So right now I'm sitting with the last 2 weeks of August, and those weekends, somewhere in there we will solidify those dates.
Well, I have one last thing to say to Bob, which is August 29, my friend. Guys, what a pleasure, and continued success to both of you.
Thank you.
I guess that's about it. Anything else? Anybody want to put a tagline in?
No, just thank you.